Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Rachel and her message that the Lord had laid on her heart. You know, the Spirit of God is real, and He moves through all of us, and we all have the Spirit of God. We just have to believe it. We all have a love in our heart, and that love in itself will manifest itself. And if we can just come up and speak what we love, then God will be faithful and just to fulfill the words that are in our mouth. With that being said, I want to thank all those around the world that are listening. We bless you. Please log on to our website, and I encourage you to send us a message, prayer request, or maybe you would like to get a prayer cloth or something of that nature. We'll find a way to get it to you. So we really want to be able to interact with you, those that are listening around the world. I'm speaking a series on why God, and there's many reasons of why we need God in our lives. For one, He is the saving power of our life. I'm not talking about the end of the world. I'm not talking about, when you die and you need to go to a place. I'm talking about your saving life now. We all have trials. We all have problems. We all have issues. Wouldn't everyone agree with me here? We all have these hardships in our lives. And I talk about these hardships, and to make it really simple, how about just a question? Why? What's going to happen tomorrow? There's darkness in front of us. But God is light, and God is the one who allows us to see. He's the one who protects us. He's the one that comforts us. He's the one that allows us to be able to walk through darkness, but we walk in the light. Whether we might not see the clear picture, He gives us an understanding with confidence, a peace, to know that everything is going to be all right. How many people are understanding me here that are grabbing what I'm saying? So this is why we need God. This is the main reason we need God. We need Him now. We need to be able to see Him now. We need to be able to know Him now so that we can have a greater peace in our hearts to comfort us as we walk for tomorrow. Nobody knows what tomorrow brings. Only the Father knows. And then also, He allows us to comfort us in a sense of having discernment to know what to do, where to go, who to talk to, who to have relationships with, and who to have relationships without. God gives us this knowledge and peace and discernment to prepare. It's almost like, let's say you know that there's a real bad group of people over here that their intentions are good in a sense, but their motives and everything else turn out to be bad. It just does bad. It's not really properly good. They do things for reasons of not knowing why. And you get yourself involved because they look good, they smell good, they taste good. You look on the outwards and you say, hey, this looks like a good group to hang out with. And you get yourself involved in this group. You're going to get involved in the same patterns that they're involved in. And deep inside, you have truth to say, you know what, this isn't right. Let's just say this group likes to steal. They're thieves. They're a group of thieves, and they like to rob. They hang out, and they have a good time and all, but then there's these certain times where they'll go out, and they'll do mischief, and they'll go rob, break into people's homes or something and steal. Or maybe they'll go through the stores, and they'll shoplift or what have you, and then they come back, and they sell their goods and make money, and then they party and have a good time. But you get involved with them, and you didn't realize, their motives. They have good intentions, and then yet they have some bad intentions here. And you get involved, and you know that something's wrong. But then all of a sudden, the influence starts to say, oh, come on, it's okay. Come on, believe in what we believe in. It's okay. And then you begin to conform with that particular group. Then you defend that particular group because you just don't want to be wrong. And it just escalates and empowers itself. Well, God keeps you safe from that. God gives you boldness to say, no, what we're doing is wrong, and break away. God gives you that boldness and peace and comfort to know that the things that I'm doing are not right. The things that I'm doing are wrong. They're only going to get me in trouble. Yes, everything else is good over here, but at the same time, there's a couple of issues here that can really take me down a wrong road. How many people are starting to see my story here? And so this is why I'm saying it's so important to know God, because God is the one that strengthens this discernment. He allows you to see falseness. He allows you to understand, and I'm going to share some things with you with some scripture verse so that you can begin to see. Now, there's one verse here in Psalms that begins to start talking about, you know, the glory of God. And I want you to understand the glory of God. I have to put my glasses on for a moment. But in Psalms, verse 24, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." So understand that this is God's place. This is God's world. He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. And that's what's so nice, why I say, why God? In verse 3, it says, "Who may ascend into the hills of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol." And this is very important, because you know that we can be trapped into idols. Things that we tend to grab hold of, and we get so adamant about certain things, they become idols. Your religion could become an idol. I want you to know that God is not an idol. He's a relationship. But patterns and laws and rules and regulations and do's and don'ts, they can become idols. How many people understand that? And you know, when you get trapped into those idols, they're hard to break away. Traditions. There's many things that become idols in our lives. And they are very hard to break away from. You know why they're hard to break away from? There's a couple of reasons. One, they feed the flesh. They feel good. They make you feel righteous because of your dues. Oh, well, I do that and I feel good. I do this and I feel good. I do that. And another thing is, you don't want to be wrong. You don't want to have to admit the fact that you might have been wrong, and you have entrenched your roots in for years. Well, I grew up this way. Well, I hung out this way. I grew up in this area. This is who I am. Is it? Is it really? Your beliefs? Remember, I'm speaking to the whole world here. Your traditions, your nationality, your culture, is that really who you are? I know that God is neither male nor female. I know God is neither black, white, yellow, Chinese, Asian, Hindi, whatever. He's not any of that. He's everything, if you want to say that. So you have to understand God, and he doesn't conform to just one thing. He's opened, but walks with discernment. And allows you. Do you know that there is nobody that is right? And do you know that there is nobody that is wrong? There's right and wrong in everything. Think about it. And we have to be able to discern right and wrong. I'm not saying that all is bad, and I'm not saying all is good. We have to search and check our own hearts all the time. I have to always check my heart to make sure that I'm walking in the truth. There are some things that I may say are true in my heart, and I find that it might have been encamped around a tradition or a culture or a boy-girl thing. Who knows? We're all influenced in these patterns, which I call the world. And so I want us to realize how important it is to know God. Why God? Why God takes us out of these patterns? God puts us in this place of being open-minded, be able to eat the meat and spit out the bones. How many of us heard that before? You see? Be able to hear what the Spirit is saying and then be able to discern the spirits. Not walk around with judgment or anger or bitterness in our hearts, but to be able to, you know, look and see. This is why God. You might be listening to us right now. Please have God in your heart so that you can hear the truth. And truth will bear witness with truth. If you don't have truth, you can't hear the truth. And there are many out there that are being deceived right now, not being able to hear the truth, but they're being empowered by, anyone ever heard of peer pressure? Well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's agreeing. Everybody thinks the way I'm being pushed to think. But they don't have the mind within them. They don't have the mind of God. They don't have the mind of truth. They're searching and seeking and looking for the mind of God. They're searching and seeking to look what's right and what's wrong. They're trying to find the path of righteousness, but they can't see it. They're lost. So what do? They take the majority of number and they start agreeing with the majority of number. Well, if everybody over here is doing it, then it must be right. And it takes out the work. It takes out and makes it easy. Well, everybody believes in this, so I think I'll believe. Everybody does this. I think I'll do it. But we need to rise up and walk with God. We need to begin to let God walk with us so that we can know. And I'm going to say false prophets. There are many, many in the last days that are going to rise up and they're going to try to tell you and direct you and guide you. And only God is the only true director. Only God is the true leader. Only God is the one that will allow us not to walk down a wrong path and get hurt. Now, we can walk into a room. It doesn't necessarily mean we need to stay there. We may be looking and seeing and smelling and starting to feel not too well. Well, we might have to tap into those thoughts and feelings that God is putting on us and not feel as though that we'll be an outcast if we made a decision to walk out. You know, there are many people listening, and they are probably listening and hearing the truth, but they might be afraid of what their culture might say. There might be some Asians around the world, and they're, you know, stuck in Buddhism or what have you, and they might say, you know what, I want to know this guy's God. I want to know this God, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what others might think. I'm afraid of what, you know, might happen. I'm afraid of what my friends might say. But are your friends and these other individuals going to save your soul? You may be a Muslim believer, or you might be a Hindi believer, or whatever. I'm not saying that the culture that you're in is bad. I'm not saying anything. I'm just wanting you to be open-minded and find God for yourself. Feel the witness. Feel the presence of God. Let God come into your heart, because things are going to start smelling sour if you begin to really want to know him. If you really begin to start opening up your heart and saying, God, I really want you to really show me the truth. I really want to walk down the right path. I really want to be in your will. I want to know you. I want the blessings that you have for me. I want all that you have for me. If you truly say that in your heart, then you're going to end up finding out that things are going to start smelling sweet, and then things are going to start smelling bitter. Things are going to taste sweet, and then things are going to start tasting bitter. And you better realize the bitterness and spit that out. You can't find God, you can't seek after him if you're going to start eating bitterness and think you're going to have God in your life. You know the truth is in you. Let the truth direct your path. Let the truth begin to move you and guide you. Be opened. Don't get caught into patterns and traditions. Don't get caught up in things that, you know, might please other people, because other people might get mad at your decisions. Don't get caught up in those things, because they're not the ones that save your soul. They're not the ones that are going to bring peace into your life. They're going to cause misery, to be honest with you. They're going to force you to do things that you really don't want to do. They're going to put condemnation on you. They're going to condemn you. The reason is because they're trying to justify their own actions. They're trying to justify their own actions so that they don't feel bad, because they don't have the boldness or the courage to walk in the truth. They choose to just conform. Do you know how easy it is to conform? Do you know how easy it is to just give in because, you know, it works? God doesn't want us to just give in. He wants us to walk in cleanliness. He wants us to walk unique. He wants us to walk in a way that isn't going to allow us to suffer. And eventually, suffering will come. You might think that you're doing the right thing and you open up your heart and home and everything else, and then next thing you know, things look good, and then a week later, they're accusing you. They're in your face. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Why don't you have this? Why don't you do that? Why? And just cause misery. Next thing you know, your heart's troubled. No matter where you go, your heart's going to be troubled. But if you walk with God and your decisions are in him, you're going to say to, listen, I understand. Thank you for your thoughts and opinions. And then you're going to end up hanging up and you're going to feel okay. You're not going to let the pressures of condemnation come on you. Let's take this doctrine that we're speaking. And let's say someone doesn't really agree with you liking this message, or someone may not agree that, you know, you're trying to seek God the way we're directing you to seek God. And right away, they're in your ear. Well, if you want to be conformed, you'll allow that condemnation to come on you. Oh, healings don't exist. The guy's giving out prayer cloths. They don't, that's not real. That's not true. Really? How many people have been seen someone, a loved one, have gotten healed with one of these prayer cloths? You see? We've heard a beautiful testimony about a man who broke a toe. Went sideways. He shoved one of these prayer cloths in between his toes, and his toe pops back into place. And no. He felt impressed by God to slam his foot on the ground and put that toe back in place with no pain. Supernaturally wonderful. I love them stories. I'll never forget it. So I want you to know that in the last days, things are happening. The writing's on the wall. How many people realize that we're living in some hard times? The world is changing. The morals of the laws in our hearts are changing. And I'm saying in our hearts. How many of us have just recently felt in our hearts that things just aren't smelling or tasting too well around us, around the world? Look at what's happening. People are scattering out of countries. They're fleeing from the hills. When you hear wars and rumors of wars, and people are fleeing out of their countries and flooding other countries, and then you have other countries saying, well, just come flood ours. You know we're living in the last days. You know something's going on. Something's happening. And I don't want us to be deceived and think, well, these things have been happening for years, centuries. It's an ongoing pattern over and over and over. And it may be true. But do you know that you live in a time frame called an age? And there are cycles of ages. One age leaves and a new age comes in. The new age that comes in has a whole different thought pattern, a whole different belief, a whole different structure, a whole different color. So you have one color of a shade of gray, and then as the ages get darker and darker and darker, you have another age that comes in with another shade that is just a little bit darker. And then a little bit darker, because evil is covering the earth. You know, the earth was dark at one time. The whole universe was dark at one time. And then the word was spoken, and then it came light. I believe the word is being spoken now. And God wants to bring the light. Who will go? Who will be that light? Who will declare the light of God to bring the light into a dark place? Because we're entering another age of darkness. This age is coming in. It's dark. How many people understand what I'm saying? It's getting dark. Where they're allowing things to take place that would have never been allowed. There are things going on that they say it's for the good. Oh, it's for the good. It's for the good. I thank God that I passed through a period of science and I'm here. I thank God that my little embryo wasn't taken away and diagnosed for some kind of scientific reason, or I wouldn't be here right now. Listen, there are some things that are going on in the world that are getting darker and darker and darker and darker. And have you noticed that their reasons are always for the best interest of others? Well, I think my children would be sad if I wasn't here. And I think not only would they be sad, but they wouldn't be here either if I wasn't here. It escalates, and we're losing a generation. We're losing life as we know it. And it may be because there are others up there who are playing God and maybe feel as though that there's too many of us around, so let's kind of thin it out. The world is getting crazy, and it's all based on power. But God wants to bring His power. He wants to bring His power on earth. He wants to change the life that we live. Now, yes, we might be saying, well, isn't God in control of everything? Isn't God in control? Yes, He is. But at the same time, He requires you to cry out, doesn't He? Cry out. Call unto Me, and I will answer. Why? So somewhere along the line, we can't just sit back and not seek God and think that, well, if God has everything under control, then He can guide my footsteps and I don't have to be concerned about nothing. We live in a realm of spirit. And the spirit needs to work with the spirits, or the spirit needs to fight with the spirits. Why do you vote? God has everything in control. Why do you give your opinion? Why do you try to plead your heart out to somebody to save their soul? Why do you talk to them if God is in so control? And who is talking? Could it be the Spirit of God in you that's causing you to say the things that you want to say? And then who could be talking to say the things that you don't want to say? Obviously, there's a separation between the two, isn't there? So I want us to understand today's message. Why God? We need Him to give us discernment between His will and not His will. Between what is His truth and what is not His truth. Because there is a plan. God has a plan. There is a beginning and there is an end. Whether it's the whole world or the age that we live in, I don't have those answers. Only God has those answers. But I do know that you have a life. And one day your life is going to be over. You can't live forever, amen? How many people understand that one? So let's take the facts. Let's just live with the facts. Let's not speak about the things that could be debated, whether God's going to come and destroy the whole world, or and take the saints up to heaven and put the people in hell. But let's say just your life in itself. You can't live forever. You're not going to live forever. And how many people realize that there is going to be a judgment? There is a time where they're going to say to you, and I believe in counsel in heaven. I believe that there is life over there in the universe. I believe, whether you want to say it's God or not, you want to call it extraterrestrial, whatever you want to say, I believe that there is life beyond the earth. And I want to know, I know, that life I call God and counsel. And there's others. Oh, there's others out there that are, it's not all good. There's a world of bad too, just like on the earth. Is there good on the earth? Is there bad on the earth? So why would you say it's any different out there? I want us to begin to not be deceived. I want us to understand and not be in a bubble. You know, how many of us live in a bubble? I was in a bubble once when it was all about me. And I just had to work and try to survive and didn't really think about others and didn't really be concerned about any loved ones or anything. I just cared about myself. I was really trapped into a bubble. It was all about me. I didn't care about you. I want to be honest. I was trapped in a bubble, but I came out of that bubble. And the way I came out was because of God. God changed my life and took me out of that bubble. And now it's not about me, but it's about you. It's about me too. I mean, I'm going to make sure that I don't walk in deception. I'm going to make sure that I walk with God so that He can open up my eyes and I don't divert from the truth. I want to be able to continue to speak with the truth. I want to continue to know the truth so that I can know Him the more. I don't want to be trapped in a bubble where it's only my way, my thoughts. I want to be opened and be able to discern the Spirit. Be able to smell. It smells good. It smells bad. It tastes good. Tastes bad. And walk in the righteous judgment of God. The righteous judgment of God is that great taste. If it's tasting good to you, then it's the righteousness of God. If it's tasting bad, then you have to spew it out of your mouth. Just like God says, He'll spew you out of His mouth. But Lord, Lord, I did all these things in Your name. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I'll spew you out of my mouth. So obviously, God knows what tastes good, and obviously, God knows what tastes bad. Let me share something here. It says, so who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully? He shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. Then it says here, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. So obviously, there's a war going on between good and bad, between something that tastes bad and something that tastes good. And then it says here, again, lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. When the word says, lift up your gates, lift up your heads, he's just saying, don't be conformed, be opened. Be opened. Don't be adamant about what's going on in your life. Don't be stiff-necked. Why, God? God allows you to be opened. Do you know that when you're closed, you walk around in bitterness, you walk around in anger, you walk around in hatred, you walk around in a battle that doesn't belong to you? The battle belongs to the Lord. How many people realize this? Now, the Lord will battle through you, but he'll do it with peace. You'll have peace when you battle with the God, because he's the Prince of Peace. There are things that are going to go on as we move forward in life. And you're going to come into a place where God is going to battle through you. But make sure that you're in the truth. Make sure that what you are being, that you are speaking about, make sure that's what's coming out of you is of God, because he will bring the peace. And so we operate in peace. You know, we'll all get attacked. All Christians will get attacked. Everyone that believes in God will get attacked. Matter of fact, I believe that they're trying to take God out of the picture, isn't it? I'm hearing now in the media that God doesn't exist. And if he exists, he's in everything. And you can even worship a tree if you want. You can worship, yeah, nature. You can worship. Listen. Worship truth. I love trees. I'm not going to knock life in a tree. I like the leaves. I like how they change colors. But it's not going to be my God. The tree can't comfort me. The tree can't speak into my heart truth. It's not alive in that area in my life. It's not going to make me smell things and taste things. Listen, I love God's creation. I love everything. I love people. I'll never not love anyone, but I will hate the spirit that goes against the truth. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? But that hate is not going to cause me to lose my peace. So I want you to realize that when you have God, and this is why I'm saying why God, he allows peace to come into your heart, allow you to see the things that are right, wrong, good, and bad in him. He allows you to accept who everyone is. And then he allows you to filter out the good spirits and the bad spirits so that you can love everyone. You'll be able to listen and trust to an extent. You can't just isolate yourself from the world. You have to be able to live in the world with peace. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? Because there are many, many people out there that are being deceived, and in their deception, they're going from very, very one extreme to very, very, very other extreme. There's no happy medium. There's not like, can we get along and love but hate the bad spirits and embrace the good spirits? Has anyone ever cut anybody completely out of their life? Amen. Now, it could be a good thing. It could be a really good thing. And that might have to be done. But if you've done all that you could, that's the question. Did we do all that we could have done to continue to keep unity? Now, I know in my life, I had this revelation, so I went back to try to heal what was broken. And I tried to bring unity in love, but there was just too much spirit that was just overwhelmingly bad that I just could not even have fellowship, and I had to cut it off. I had to walk away. I had to leave because it was too much darkness. And there wasn't any light to have fellowship with. And this is what I'm trying to say. Test the spirits. Understand that God is the King of glory, and He fights our battles, and we need to have peace. Now, by me coming into a place of trying to bring unity, and then realizing that there was just too much darkness that I had to walk away from, I was able to walk away with peace because I realized that there was just too much darkness. And then I knew what I was dealing with. Do you know why your peace is taken away? Because you don't know the truth. You don't know what you're dealing with. You don't know. You can't see. And so because you can't see, that's what's bringing anger. That's what's bringing frustration. That's what's bringing it. But if we can test the spirits and see the spirits and know the spirits, and then now you have understanding of what spirit is manifesting, then you can walk away with peace. And then when somebody confronts you, you can simply just tell them what you know, rather than going into an argument because really you don't know and that's why you're arguing. But you can just tell them the truth. And say, okay, well, whether you see it or not, that's okay, but I see it, so have a nice day. And this is why I'm speaking this message, because we need God to open up our eyes so that we can see the truth, and the truth will give us peace. That's what it's about. Do you think you're going to be able to change the world? No. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. I don't care how many people you get. The spirits are the spirits, and the spirits are going to manifest the way the spirits are. It's not our battle. It's God's battle. God knows what He's dealing with, and there are tons of spirits that are manifesting in one area, and there's tons of spirits manifesting in the other area. All you need to do is know that you know the spirit that gives peace. And when you walk with peace, your life will be in peace. You can't change the world. You might think you can. If God puts His Spirit on you and leads you into a group of spirits that are one like mind and one like spirit, and God chooses to raise up that army, and then you really start making an impact in the world, wonderful. But do it in peace. Make sure that everything that you do in Him. Make sure that you walk with God in everything that you do so that your life will be saved. We need to start looking at our life, our walk with God, and our salvation, and not worry about trying to save the world or trying to condemn the world. It isn't going to happen. But you have a world that you live in. And that world needs to manifest peace. How many people realize what I'm saying here? Amen. There's a verse here that I want to read real quick, and then we're going to close. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, you know, these are the words of Jesus, and he began to start saying, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenously wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, we have not prophesied in your name, casted out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these things of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." I want to just take you as an individual. Build your house on the rock. God is the rock. He's the truth in your life. Cry unto him and he will give you the answers. Call upon him and he'll give you the way, the truth, the life. He will begin to start moving in your life so that you walk in peace. It's not about being right or wrong, good or bad. It's about walking in peace. Are you built on the rock? If you're built on the rock, you're going to be built in peace. Work out your own salvation. Listen, if you got that conviction, blow it up. Get out there. Speak. Smack them around. Do whatever you got to do. But when you do it in love. Whatever you do, do in love. You're doing it in God. And don't be conformed. Don't let the pressures of the world cause you to do things you don't want to do. Pick up your heads. Brush your guilt and shame off. Don't look at yourself as the way you look at yourself as the way the lies have looked at yourself. Know who you are. Feel confident and bold in who you are. Don't let others or things pressure you to do the things that you really don't want to do. Don't be conformed. When you begin to cry out for God and you begin to search him and he begins to come to you, you draw near to him, he draws near to you, he's going to change your world, I'm going to tell you right now. This is why I say, I'm sorry. You might like me now, but you'll hate me. And you might start hating me and then you're going to end up loving me afterwards. Because when God comes into your life, he straightens out your crooked path. You're walking down a crooked path. You're going in a direction that God doesn't want you to go in. Listen, you might be walking in God's will in some. It's crooked. That's why I said some is good and some is bad. He's going to take the crooked path and make it straight. So he's going to straighten it all out. So I'm not saying that you're completely off the wall. It's crooked. Some's going right, some's going left, some's going right, some's going left. But the area that you're going against God's will is where you're going to be angry. That's where your wars are going to be. Lay your wars down. Don't get involved in them. If it's bringing anger in your heart, Stop. Seek God. Get confidence in yourself. Start knowing the truth. Let God wash all over you and then get right back in the game. But let the peace surpass all understanding. Now we know we're walking in God. Now we know. How many of us want to walk in God? Amen. Remember, in the last days, there's going to be many false prophets that are going to rise up and deceive the elect. There are going to be many. I truly believe if you take your life and you look at your age, as you get older, there's going to be many people that are going to come into your life. And as you approach your last days, in the last days, listen, how many people are telling you what to do? How many people are telling you how to do it? How many people are voicing their opinions in your life? How many people are offended of you? How many people are not offended of you? You see what I'm saying? You're never going to be able to please everybody. But the main thing is to have peace. While you're going through these things, know the King of Glory. The King of Glory is the one who fights our battles. The King of Glory is the one who does our warfare for us. If you know him, you will have the boldness to stand in him. If you have the boldness to stand in him, no matter what comes against you, you can't be affected. Enjoy your life. Walk with peace. Don't be conformed with traditions. Don't be conformed with patterns. Don't be forced in the power of numbers, so to say, like everybody's doing it, so it must be good. Start asking God to give you the sense of smell and the sense of taste. Begin to start feeling him. You know what's right and wrong. You know. And then ask yourselves, am I really feeding my flesh because I'm afraid? Don't be afraid. Fear the Lord. Fear him. And that's the beginning of wisdom. Amen? Let's ask for every head to be bowed for a moment. I'm being attacked. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. Just give the Lord a minute. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to walk in deception. There are many people that are going to come against you. There are many people that are going to hate you because you have an anointing. There are many people, and it's not them. I want you to know that when these people come against you, they see the anointing. They see the anointing in your life. It's a conflict between light and dark. The people are not your enemy. The spirit are your enemies. The people are not your friends. It's the spirit that is your friend. The people are just empty vessels that are filled with either light or dark. Come into the light. Lord, I pray that you open up our eyes to see this mystery so that we're not walking with anger as the world gets darker and darker. We walk with compassion and love, seeing the pain. Because the whole world is suffering. The whole world is trying to cloak themselves with righteousness so that they can find a peace. But our peace only comes from you. Our peace only comes from your righteousness. So, Father, we ask that you become more real in our lives. As we call upon your name, deep call upon deep, and we draw closer to you as we draw close, you draw close. Give us the mind of Christ. Give us this mind to be able to see light and dark so that our peace remains with us. Holy Spirit, just begin to touch everyone here. Those that might need a healing, those who may need a heart transplant in one way or another, those that are listening, touch them. Let them know that you're real. I pray now. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. And those that are listening, I want to thank you for those around the world. Continue to log on and support us. Pass the message around. Spread the good news. On Wednesdays, you'll see those from this ministry speak messages to you. Those that are out there ministering, you will be able to see them through our website. So I want you to log on Wednesday nights and be blessed. Amen. Amen. God bless.